Welcome to Royal Legacy, where we will explore the rich athletic history and deep family connections of BYU sports. Join us as we honor the past, celebrate the present, and look forward to the future of the BYU Cougars. Here's your host, Lauren McLean.
How's it going, everyone? I'm Lauren McLean, and welcome to Royal Legacy, where we dive deep into the family connections of BYU sports. Joining me today are two BYU coaches, husband and wife, Jocelyn and Ward Allen. Jocelyn is the head cheer coach for BYU, and Ward is an assistant coach for the BYU women's gymnastics team. Guys, thank you so much for being here with me.
Thank you so much for having us. Yeah,
I don't know how you had time to come on
We barely fit it in, but we made time for you.
This just insane. So let's start with the obvious. The BYU cheer squad finished first and fourth in the game day and co-ed divisions in the 2025 National Collegiate Cheer and Dance Championship in Daytona Beach, Florida, a couple weeks ago. So congratulations.
We did. We finally get to say national champion BYU cheer squad. I'm so pumped about that.
That's just crazy. So you're now a couple of weeks removed from it. Has it all sunk in?
I think it has sunk in. We had a really cool opportunity to go on the cruise, the BYU cruise, right after Nationals, and we took the national championship trophy on the cruise. We put that thing on the plane. We got it on the boat. And because of that, it's sort of like we got to extend our celebration with a bunch of Cougar fans, which how awesome is that, right? It was awesome. And so it really got a chance to sink in and be like, wow, we really did this. You know, so it's been pretty cool.
It was awesome to see them have a boat full of people to celebrate.
Yeah,
with.
We got a boat to celebrate with. It was amazing.
Just going back to class.
Yeah. Just seeing the clips of that cruise were just, I'm like, is this real life? That's pretty dang crazy. An entire ship full of BYU fans.
It was pretty cool. And the cheerleaders, I think, added to that atmosphere immensely. And they got to just celebrate that national championship win, which was so cool. So,
what was it about your squad and their performance that made them stand out?
I think they stand out wherever they go. I think the cheerleaders on the BYU cheer squad are different. I've been involved in the cheerleading world for so long, I can't even count. But the cheerleaders at BYU are just different. They are, we all know why it is. They have this light about them. We know that. But they are different, and people can see that. And this year, I really think what made them stand out is we had this big switch this year that we decided we are going to focus on building other people up. We're just going to focus on that instead of focusing on ourselves. Hmm. That's going to be our focus. And I think it shone through to everybody on that stage when they went out there that they weren't out there just for themselves. They were good people as well. You know what I mean? And I think that we had interviewers interview them after the championship was won, and they were like, what makes you guys so different? Like, they could see it. And I'm like, I know what it is. I know what it is. It's that they focus on other people and service, which is so cool. So
That's incredible that made that difference.
It's cool. I've been watching it for a lot of years, Jocelyn being involved, and she does a great job with the cheerleaders of letting that light shine and bringing that gospel component into it. People all over the place recognize it, and they ask questions. I think their bus driver at the national championship was actually really impressed by them, and she could, I don't know, maybe later tell that story.
Later, maybe. Funny, that bus driver, we ended up passing off a Book of Mormon to him, and he attended church the next Sunday.
Really? So, yes. That was just a couple weeks ago?
Just a couple weeks ago, and we got word from the missionaries that that had happened. I'm telling you, wherever these kids go, these cheerleaders are, they're incredible. They're just top tier, and I love them.
You can be one of the testaments when people are like, they need to shut down BYU's athletic program. It's not, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It is a missionary tool.
No, the missionary tool. Oh, I'd be heartbroken if they did that. The missionary tool that these kids are, they just, like I said, they're top tier humans. And they are not afraid to tell people what they're about. They're not afraid to share the gospel through their sport or their medium, whatever they choose. They're not afraid to do that. And the number of people that I see, we travel with football. We travel with basketball. Our season goes from August until the end of April. And I see them all over the country. And I watch what they're able to do and how they're able to influence people. And they are the greatest missionary tool. Absolutely.
Ward, what was going through your mind when you saw all of your wife's hard work pay off?
It was cool because they've been so close to it for so long, I feel like. I mean, the last several years, it seems like they go to that championship, and it's just been one little mess up, or recently it's been like these safety deductions that I don't fully get, but, you know, just something happens. Last year, I don't think we ever really got an answer as to why, but it kind of seems like a technicality that they wouldn't win on. And so it's just been like, man, why can't it come through? Because they have shone. They've been really good. And then finally it paid off. So it was really, really, really cool to watch.
Let's head back to the late 90s, shall we? Early 2000s. You both were student athletes here at BYU. Johnson on the cheer squad and Ward on the men's gymnastics team. Ward, how did the two of you first meet?
We met. There's a slight controversy
yes.
over where exactly we met, because I know where we met, but she doesn't remember meeting me that night. But anyway, long story short, she was friends with a couple of the girls on the women's gymnastics team, and so through those mutual friends, we hung out a little bit, but we did practice in the same place. Now the cheerleaders practice early in the morning, but they used to practice at night, and it was right at the end of the men's gymnastics practice, so that was kind of where she thinks she met with me, but we met at a volleyball game earlier.
It's not true.
You have zero memory of that.
I hold strong that we met in the gymnastics room after that. Yes, we practiced at the same time, so our practices overlapped, and the male gymnasts were in there, and I was like, hey. That's what I remember. I don't remember this alleged volleyball game.
I try to hold this over her head, but she just doesn't agree, and she doesn't think we met at that point.
Yep.
Anyway,
we'll just agree to disagree.
In the next life, you do one of those little
But it was here on campus.
So. Okay, there you go. Jocelyn, was there an immediate connection, or do you feel like it took a little bit of time for you guys to connect?
No, I think there was an immediate connection, but something interesting. We are not the typical BYU story, and I'll let Ward get into that more later, but we dated for 3 years before we got married at BYU. But when we first started dating, Ward was not a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He came here as a non-member on a BYU gymnastics athletic scholarship, and he was great, and he was fun, and we loved hanging out, and we really were best friends for a really long time. And then he can tell the story, but then after he joined the church, I was like, uh-oh. This could actually be really something serious. So I think there was an immediate connection, and he was always my best friend. And then it took a really awesome turn. So
yeah, for sure.
I got to hear that from your perspective.
Yeah, for sure. We started dating a little bit. We were hanging out, and I don't think it was as serious as it would become in the beginning, But she's always just been such a great example and a great light to everybody. And so the same type of thing we were talking about with her cheer squad now, I could see in her back then. And it was an interesting road. We were dating for a while. Not being a member of the church, I wasn't really at BYU looking for a wife.
Right. where did you grow up, by the way?
In Canada,
okay.
In Calgary. Yeah. And, I felt from the very beginning there was something super special about Jocelyn. And she always let it really be known that she was going to get married in the temple when we were dating. And so that was what was going to happen. And I wasn't a member of the church. And so, sometimes I almost get a little bit offended sometimes because people are like, oh, yeah, you converted so you could marry Jocelyn.
Right.
And it's like, well... I mean, I believe in the church, right?
Yeah.
Like that's what brought me into it. But I'd be lying if I didn't say that wasn't a major factor that caused me to sort of check out the church and to start looking into it. Because as things got a little bit more serious and I was very into her, and she wasn't going to get married outside the temple. So so that was kind of a big thing that prompted me to really kind of check into it after a while here at BYU.
How long had you been at BYU when you got baptized?
I was 1 year ahead of her, so I had my freshman year. And then we started, kind of like casually dating when she showed up as a freshman in about October of that year. And so it was in my third year
Isn't that crazy?
Church,
he had two full years here as an athlete without ever really looking into the church. And it didn't take much. I remember I just asked you, do you want to go to church? And you were like, yeah. Because he had taken all the religion classes at BYU as a non-member, got better grades than me, which always killed me in those religion classes. He did so well. And nobody had really ever asked him to go to church. I think he was a scary athlete that, that had come here on an athletic scholarship and nobody really dared.
It's interesting. People would try to talk to me about the church and stuff, but there is a difference. And I don't think it's like the surface difference of, oh, here's this beautiful girl asking you to go to church. but more of like a lot of the time it wasn't super sincere, I didn't feel like.
Yeah.
People would invite me to church and I didn't know them that well, or they would like try. It felt like they were trying to convert me or get me to come to stuff just to check a list or something like that. And so I think there's a good lesson in it for that reason, because when Jocelyn did ask me to come to church or ask me if I was interested in learning more about it, I could tell that she cared and that there was that extra thing, you know? And so I think that's like, I always use that as a good guideline when I'm teaching youth now, or even like I'm currently our ward mission leader, and sometimes I have that discussion with the missionaries just about like people want to know that you care, not just want to get them to church to like meet your numbers or whatever. So
that's so cool. What was your view of the church, I'm curious, then before coming to BYU?
It was interesting. I did not know much about the church at all. I did know from doing gymnastics in Canada, there was one girl that I'd just known through that, and I didn't really know that she was a member of the church or anything until she was a year older than me, and she said she was going to go to college at BYU, and I didn't know what BYU was. She told me it was this university in Utah and stuff like that. Still didn't know that much about it other than a few things, like she, you know, she didn't drink and stuff like that, right? And so she ended up at BYU, and then it wasn't until a little bit later when I was looking at colleges that I heard about BYU and started talking to the coach here, and really discovered more about it, and really didn't know a ton about the church until I showed up here. So
life's crazy,
right? Yeah, absolutely crazy. And sometimes we joke about it because he's being really modest, but he had offers to do gymnastics a lot of other places. We always laugh because Stanford really wanted him, and we're like, you could have had a degree from Stanford.
People ask why I ended up at BYU, and I can talk through the reasons, but in the end, I think it was just meant to be. But I originally had this plan to go and do gymnastics at UCLA, and they had a great men's program back in the day. But while I was in high school, they cut their men's gymnastics program, like a lot of places ended up doing. And so for a while, I was going to stay in Canada. My coaches wanted me to stay there and try to like make the next Olympic team and train for that. And just in my senior year, like pretty late, started thinking, well, maybe I should check out college again.
Yeah.
And for the most part, I was just like, I'm not going to look at all these schools. I don't want to go to the East Coast. I don't want to go to the Midwest. I was kind of looking at California schools. Stanford and Cal were possibilities. And then there was this BYU school, which was like the same time zone that I was in Canada and stuff. And I knew one girl that had gone there. And so I started talking to the coach, and he seemed to really want me, you know. And I think I was telling Jocelyn earlier today, I mean, I think one of the reasons, honestly, was my values weren't so out of line just from my family and the way that I was raised with BYU. But I looked at the honor code kind of as like, hey, I want to do some other things with my life. And some gymnasts at other schools are a little bit crazy. And so I was like, maybe
like
the honor code
athletes
will keep me out of trouble a little bit, you know. And so I kind of looked at it that way and, you know, came down, met the people on the team. They seemed like good people. And so I ended up here. But honestly, sometimes I look at it and I look at like some of the other schools I could have gone to, and I think, why did 18-year-old me make that choice? I can't really explain that.
I was just about to say that's very mature thinking for like a 17, 18-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to focus on my athletics.
I'm thankful I made the decision, but I'm not entirely sure how that came to be.
That's an incredible story. Jocelyn, when did you decide that Ward was the guy that you were going to marry?
I think it came really quickly after he was baptized, because like I said, we dated for 2 years before that, and I really liked him, and he was fun and obviously attractive, and I really liked all those things. And then we were involved in his baptism, some of my cheerleaders that were on the cheerleader team with me. It was like the shortest baptism that's ever taken place on campus with all the cheerleaders and the male gymnasts. We were all just these little short people. But we were involved. We did the musical number. You know, guy from your team baptized you. And after that, I remember we were at the church on 9th East is where you got baptized. And I remember thinking, uh-oh, like this actually, I think that this might be it. And we still dated for another year and a half after he got baptized before we got married in the St. George Temple. So I think it was soon after the baptism that it really hit home that, wow, he is my best friend. And my goal of getting married in the temple is something that could really come true here. So
was Guard young at your baptism?
He was. Yeah.
See, that's a cool full circle moment.
Yeah. So Guard and I, and that's kind of that's part of the story of how I'm involved with women's gymnastics now, because Guard came back and was the coach. But Guard and I were freshmen together. So we had a group of five of us that showed up as freshmen together here on the team. And we were here until our program got dropped. But we were on the team the whole time. Yeah.
Which I want to talk about that a little bit. even though the men's gymnastics was one of the most successful programs at BYU, very, very successful. It was announced in, I believe, 1999 that it was going to be dropped, and you graduated in the year 2000. What was going through your mind when you heard that announcement?
It's interesting. I mean, we were all pretty upset at the time, and I would have had because I was injured 1 year, I would have had another year to do gymnastics too, but there wasn't a team here. I chose not to transfer or anything because I was close to graduating, but it was tough. It was tough to see happen. I mean, now looking back and seeing the state of things and how it's panned out over the next several years, I see that men's gymnastics is not the most popular thing. A lot of people don't understand it, and there's not huge participation in it, which is partly just because you need to get involved when you're so young.
Right.
It takes so much time, and a lot of people get injured before they get far into it and everything like that. But so I kind of now with some maturity and hindsight, see like why it happened and don't have too hard of feelings. But it was tough. It was tough when it first happened, for sure.
Yeah, I bet it was. Jocelyn, what stands out to you the most when you think about your time as a student athlete at BYU?
Oh, gosh. I think Ward and I both discussed this a little bit before coming in here today, and we thought, you know, why did both of us come to BYU? The same sort of thing. Like I'm sort of have a similar story in that I'm not exactly sure what brought me here. I knew that they had an incredible cheer team at the time, for sure the best cheer program in the state, and I had been accepted at other universities, and for some reason that program just, it called to me. I thought this is maybe what I'm going to do. I drove myself up here by myself as an 18-year-old without really telling my parents, stayed in a hotel by myself and tried out for the cheer squad and called my mom the next day and said, hey, I made the cheer team. It was just kind of a random thing that happened. But I think that, so BYU cheer was a big part of me being at BYU, a huge part. And I'm grateful for it every single day. I think that one of the biggest things that stands out to me while I was here is the ability to mix the gospel with the sport or activity that we love. And you can't do that anywhere else. I'd been offered positions other places as well, and I just didn't want to do it because it didn't feel right. And the opportunity that BYU gives you as a student athlete to be here and incorporate your love for Jesus Christ and your love for cheerleading or gymnastics or basketball or football or whatever it is, incorporate those at the same time was so appealing to me.
Hmm. You felt the freedom to be you.
Yeah.
Fully.
Yeah. It was amazing. I felt like I could just be myself, and it was cool and still okay to be like, yeah, I love having a testimony. I love the gospel. I love that. And it's cool. Yeah. Like, it's cool to do that still here. So,
and you grew up in St. George.
I did. I'm right? A Utah girl from St. George and came up to BYU and kind of never left. So.
So cool.
It's really cool to look at Jocelyn's story as well as mine, because I think that at the time you probably didn't see that happening, but in hindsight, there's no question that there were promptings and things that fell into place. And when I see everything that she's done and the effect she's had on different people's lives over the years, there's no question that she was led to be here. It's interesting. I think we both feel that way. I was asked to bear my testimony a little while ago, not through the BYU programs, but just with our ward. And I was about halfway through when I realized it sounded like I was bearing my testimony of BYU gymnastics and BYU cheer.
Yeah.
But the two seem really tied to us, yeah, just because, yeah, of the experiences that we've had and how that blends into, mm-hmm, you know, the impact the gospel has had in our lives and other people that we've been involved with.
So. Well, yeah, and BYU brought us our family. I mean, for it, sure, brought us each other. It brought us our, yeah, three children. It brought us everything that's important to us. So,
and clearly there's something to that since you're both back here.
And then
now
we ended up,
yeah,
back
together,
here.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Did you guys ever imagine you'd both end up coaching at BYU in the very gym that you guys met, well, controversially met in?
Yes, it is controversial. It is crazy. Like, we do have this weird full circle family moment. I kind of always knew that I wanted to coach. Ward's story is a little bit different. I always knew that I wanted to coach. And like I said, I had been offered some coaching positions at other places, and I just didn't want to do it anywhere else. Mm. So coming back here and being the coach here was like a dream. It was an absolute dream. And I love it so much. So,
and she started, she's always been cut out for coaching. In fact, she coached her sister's soccer team to the city championship when she was 13 years old,
yes,
I think. Like, Jocelyn's made to be a coach. But no, it is interesting. I mean, you started coaching right after you were on the cheer squad.
Yeah.
I thought she would never let forgive me for this, but when I went to law school, I graduated from law school, yeah. We moved away for a job, and I don't know if she ever thought that she would coach again, so I thought yeah. that could be pretty bad. But it ended up being good. It was while our girls were very young and while I was getting going in a career, and was very grateful when she got the job back when we ended up moving back to Utah.
Because then he didn't have to be the dream crusher anymore.
She's meant to do that. My path, I never set out, never thought that I would coach, never really had a big desire to, especially with women's gymnastics. It never yeah. crossed my mind. And it was years later, as things sort of transitioned from my career for several years as a lawyer. And then we started a tumbling gym in Draper, Utah, Tumble Tech, and that was yeah. going well. And Jocelyn couldn't really keep up with it, and I ended up going in and helping more with that, which, you know, my experience as a lawyer and with business and with gymnastics helped with that, but ended up kind of sitting there doing that when Guard asked me about 6 years ago if I would, like, volunteer and come around and you know, for in the beginning, it seemed like something that would be interesting for just a little while to
yeah.
do.
And here we
are. I've gotten drawn more and more into it, and I love it. I honestly don't think I would want to coach guys. I like it fits well. I never thought that. I never set out to do it, but I love it. So it's great.
Yeah, I want to get into that a little bit more. We're here with BYU coaches and husband and wife, Ward and Jocelyn Allen. All right, let's talk about how you got into your careers. Jocelyn, you said you knew since you were a little girl that you wanted to be a coach. What sparked that passion of leading and mentoring at such a young age?
I did. Just I'll quickly hit on that story, but I remember I was 12 or 13 years old, and I played soccer. I grew up primarily doing soccer and gymnastics. That was my background. So soccer, I think most people in high school would say Jocelyn's a soccer player that does some cheerleading and tumbling yeah. on the side. So I was very competitive, even as a little kid. I mean, really competitive. And I remember 12 or 13 years old, my younger sister, who's 3 years younger than me, did not have a coach for their soccer team. And I must have been a little precocious. But I remember thinking, they're really good. The girls on this team are really good. Why will nobody coach them? And I remember thinking, I could do that. I could do it. And how precocious does that sound to have a 12-year-old? And so I went to my mom and I said, I want to coach this team. And she was like, no, we're not doing this. Nobody was volunteering. So finally, my mom went to the other parents and said, listen, she's 12 and she wants to do this. And I will allow it because none of you are stepping up. But you guys better support her 100%. I got so into it. I made my dad take me down to the store. I got a whiteboard. I got a little thing with, you know, magnets to, like, move people around. And then I spent time at night strategizing about how we were going to win. And we joke about it because that team never lost a game and they won the city championships. And I was hooked from then, whether it was soccer or gymnastics or cheerleading. I felt like I can actually plan to make a difference. I can make plans and I can try to use motivational techniques to help get the best out of athletes. That was addicting from day one. I absolutely loved it and felt like I was decent at it. So when the opportunity came along to be a college cheerleader, that was amazing because I could start using some of my coaching skills in that realm as well. And I just loved it. From that moment when I was 12 years old on, I just remember thinking coaching's the route for me.
What 12-year-old?
Well, I know,
first
right?
First of all, that your mom gave you the opportunity is pretty dang cool.
Yes, like that's absolutely. That's my incredible. Mom, biggest supporter. My mom was the principal at Dixie High School for years. She is a go-getter. She's a boss woman. And I love that about her. Everyone in my family might be a little feisty, but it serves us well. And she just was like, you know what? I've always told her she could do anything she wanted to do. So then when she had this precocious 12-year-old that was like, I'm going to do this, I'm so grateful that she stood behind me and said, you can do it, Jocelyn. And I believed her. I believed her from the time I was little that I could do it.
It's such a good story because I can't, like, our daughters, when they were 12 years old, I can't imagine them doing something like that. And I think that you would say that about most 12-year-olds.
Yeah.
But if you know Jocelyn, like, it doesn't surprise me at all, that story. And it really, if you hear that story, you probably have a good understanding of Jocelyn because I would have complete faith in her doing something like that. So.
Well, now I want to know what your mom's reaction was when you just recently won the national championship.
She cried. Yeah, she cried because she knows that this has been – we haven't won a national title since 2012 on the BYU cheer squad. So it's been a long time, and we've been so close for so long. So my mom definitely – she cried. She was like, oh, all your hard work. And she knows how much the athletes mean to me. They – mean everything to me. I have my three beautiful children that I love and my husband, and then I have my extended family, which is the BYU cheer squad and the BYU athletic department. And I just wanted it so bad for them. I put every hour that we have in our family, we put it into, you know, our family, the church, and then BYU cheer. Yeah. That's kind of what we do. So my mom was super proud and she cried a little bit and was pretty happy with me.
Ward, you, like you mentioned, you kind of took a different path to get to where you are right now. You were a corporate lawyer and then back to gymnastics. So you mentioned that when Guard asked you that, you're like, oh, this will be fun, maybe just for a little bit to do on the side. What made you decide, okay, this is going to be it for me?
It's kind of just become something more every single year for the last 6 years, I guess. So originally it was, not to get bored to people too much with the details, but a few years ago when I got started, you were only allowed three coaches for a gymnastics team, and BYU already had those three coaches, and then you could have a volunteer coach. And so he just kind of said, hey, sounds like you got a little bit of extra time on top of running this gym, and you know, would you be interested in volunteering for this? And at first I just told him no. And then just like a lot of these other things with BYU where there were just were promptings, I mean, that was on probably a Thursday or Friday, and I went home, went through the weekend, and I couldn't stop thinking about it. And so I don't know why. I'd never set out to do it, but it just sounded like this thing that, I don't know, I just couldn't like forget about it. It sounded like it might be a neat opportunity. So I said, okay, fine. I've got a little bit of time. I'll do like a couple days a week. And then that kind of led into just fitting into different roles that could help the team. And I do think that there, for me, there was something left undone a little bit, coming back to the dropping of the men's gymnastics program, a program that meant so much to me. And it's so weird. I don't know if this is something that most people think about, but like, it's like most of the evidence of the fact that men's team existed is just kind of gone, you know? And so there's nothing really to get together around as alumni or anything like that. Yeah. Like, I've seen some of our teammates here and there, but there's never anything to like gather around for something that meant a lot to us. So I joke with the girls on the girls team, like, I'm sorry, I've kind of adopted you guys. Like, this is, I just view this like it's the continuation of our program a little bit. But so it was cool. And I just, after thinking about it through the weekend, said, hey, yeah, I'll try this. And it was a couple days a week on a volunteer basis at first. They ended up the next year or the year after needing somebody to pitch in with the strength and conditioning. And there's like some gymnastics specific stuff. It takes like knowledge of gymnastics, but it's also strength and conditioning. So I got certified to do that and started helping out in that capacity. And that led into a couple of years ago becoming the bar coach. And so the NCAA changed their rules. We could have an extra coach. And so they hired me on. And yeah,
here BYU
we are.
Just figures out ways to keep us sucked in every single year as a family. Just, that's what BYU does for us. But we love
it.
It's
just growing.
It's just
kids.
Like I keep getting roped farther in. Yep. So yeah. But it's fun.
I'm curious, what had to change mentally, if anything, from going from men's gymnastics, which I guess you didn't actually coach any men, but that's the gymnastics that you were focused on, to now coaching on the women's side?
It's interesting. And like when I say that I don't think I would really want to coach men, I don't know if it comes from having daughters, maybe like watching Jocelyn coach the cheerleaders for so many years. And she coaches, I think she does an amazing job with the male cheerleaders and with the women. So it's not just women, but a lot of them are women more. Anyway, I don't know what it is or if it's just my personality, but it just seemed to fit better. So there's a lot of, I mean, gymnastics is interesting because on the men's and women's side, they're different events. Unlike most sports, it's not just men and women playing the same sport. There's different events. And I will still say, like, there are some similarities, a lot of similarities between vault, because both men and women do that. Floor, I don't claim to understand or get involved in the dance or the music part, but at least the tumbling part I understand. Beam, I don't even get involved with. I don't even try to understand. I'm like, hey, I don't have experience there, and I won't say anything. And bars, there's a lot of similarity, even though it's a different event, to a lot of the things that male gymnasts do. But then the other aspect to it, just coaching girls, and I don't know. I feel like there's something that clicked there that works. So
I think
I don't know.
You knew Ward is like the best girl dad on the planet. He is the best girl dad. And our two girls, we have one son and two girls. Our two girls are so lucky because he's the best girl dad. So it doesn't surprise me at all that he is great coaching females.
I mean, one thing is understanding the technical stuff, and that is it's a little bit different from men's and women's gymnastics, but it's, I mean, there's a lot of people that make that switch over from men's gymnastics to coaching women's.
Yeah.
But to me, coaching is way more about not just the technical stuff, not just the X's and O's, but, you know, viewing the person and figuring them out and figuring out how to motivate them, figuring out how to get the best out of them. And I don't claim to be the best at it, but I'm trying to improve all the time. But I love that part of it. So,
what was your favorite event when you were competing here?
Favorite, and I don't know. I think I was the best at probably floor and vault and pommel horse and parallel bars were kind of like, depending on the day.
Yeah.
But the one that stands out is a lot of people don't like pommel horse. It's hard to stay on that thing, but I was decent at it, and so I actually like that one. So yeah,
it's kind he of was the, really that, good that is at actually horse.
The equivalent, cool. I think, in a lot of people's minds to the beam for girls. It's just like you have to calm your nerves and stay on it, and there's a lot of people that don't like that, but it seemed to click for me. So.
Well, gosh, that Olympian with the glasses that made it so popular
yeah.
this year.
Yeah. Stephen, I won't even try to say his last name.
Yeah, Stephen, I feel like he kind of made the pommel horse cool
yeah.
this year.
Yeah, I always felt like it was cool, but
I remember
everybody loved it.
I remember once we did a halftime. There was a halftime at the Marriott Center of a basketball game where they brought out pommel horses and the men's gymnastics team.
Oh,
remember that?
Yeah.
Did
awesome.
Flares on the cool. pommel horses in the Marriott Center. I remember that because everybody was like, "Ah, oh, so great. Awesome."
I've been tempted to buy a pommel horse because I think
he still
I could
can
still
do flares.
Do it.
It's pretty impressive.
And
I push
oh,
it you gotta do
things,
that.
Still do it. Yep. I think, yeah, she won't let me buy a pommel horse.
You gotta do that. At least for anything else, just to show off for the gymnastics team.
For sure.
Jocelyn, you mentioned that you kind of just have time for your kids, church, and cheer. How do you balance all those things in your daily life?
You know, balance is really important to me, but I've said this before in other interviews, but sometimes people ask me, they say, how are you doing it all? Like, how is this happening? How are you being a mom? How are you, you know, doing all these things? And I think, you know what? There is not a real way that this should be possible.
Yeah.
And so I know that it is because my capacity is expanded through my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. I know that he expands my capacity because it's the only possible way that I should be able to do all the things. And every time I take something new on, I think there's no way. There's no way I can do this. Okay, we've got more team members. We've got more competition. We've got more travel. How am I going to do this? And somehow it gets done because I just rely on God and his ability to expand my capacity, which I think is a real thing. It's the only explanation because I definitely am not good enough to do it all.
You'd have to with everything that you're doing. It's incredible. It really is. Ward, what are some of the goals and the visions that you have for this women's gymnastics team?
The future looks really exciting to me. We're kind of at a position right now where we're rebuilding a little bit, but the recruiting class is coming in this next year in particular. We'll see how it goes the next year because they're going to be young and we'll have a lot of turnover in our lineups, but they look really good. And I would just love to continue to take us as we move into the Big 12 and continue to get better and better recruits in. There's a lot of, you know, we get some great people that aren't LDS into yeah. our program, but there are some great LDS gymnasts out there in this country. And so I just want to see people catch a hold of this vision that I know is possible and decide to come to BYU for the obvious reasons that there are to come to BYU and what it stands for and to enjoy the success of the gymnastics program along with that. So,
and Jocelyn, with your sport, you made it to the very top. So, I mean, that's so hard to do. Where do you go from here as the head coach?
We absolutely keep going. One is not enough. That's what I say. We're going to keep pushing. I am extremely excited about the incoming class. We're going to have tryouts next weekend, which is crazy. I'm excited to just keep pushing. I think we can always get better. The skills in cheerleading just keep upping every single year. And I think we've got some really great recognition now nationwide, which is what I've kind of always wanted. I wanted people to see that the program here at BYU is world class. We really are good. And I would love people to see that. And now that we've got a little bit more national exposure and people have seen, wow, BYU really does have a great cheerleading program, I'm hoping to just build on that. I want to keep going, keep pushing for more for more. And like I said, I'm a little competitive. So we did take home fourth this year, which fourth in the country. That's great in our advanced small co-ed. But I would love to see that advanced small co-ed come home with a national title next year as well.
It's such a cool thing. And it's so exciting to watch. I don't know that a lot of people appreciate the impact that BYU Cheer can have and the tool that it can be for BYU and for the church. But, you know, I had the opportunity to go to Europe with them last year with the team. And it was just incredible to see people's eyes light up when they saw the kids on the team either performing and doing their stuff or just the way they behave when they're not doing cheerleading.
Yeah, just the way they interact.
But it's an amazing group of people, and I think it has an amazing effect on people, and it's an amazing tool for the school and for the church to be putting them out there. So I'm excited about what Jocelyn can do with them.
Isn't he the best? He's like the best cheerleader. Thank you.
It is. It's just so obvious to me because I'm not – I don't know. I think a lot of the time people – think that I did because, again, not everybody knows about men's gymnastics and stuff, and I can do some of those skills, but I don't have anything to do outside of Jocelyn with cheerleading. I never did it. But it's amazing to me to see, like, how many people are into it or when they see it, get into it and the effect it has on people. It's really cool.
Well, and it obviously starts at the top.
Thank you
to have such an incredible group below you. I think that's so awesome. I actually was curious, now that you bring that up, if there's ever any crossover between the two squads, like if you help out and vice versa, like, or if it's
well, we definitely run ideas by each other a lot. So we talk a lot about, like, hey, you know, I use this with my team, or we were talking about this motivational strategy, or, you know, we'll talk about that because I have a lot of the people on my team are former level 10 gymnasts.
Wow.
Who gymnastics takes a lot of time. I mean, I did gymnastics growing up as well, and they're in the gym 30 hours a week, and sometimes their bodies kind of won't take that, and they make the switch over to cheerleading because it's a natural switch, because you still can do the tumbling and it's an acrobatic event where we're throwing in the air and twisting and all these things. So I get a lot of former level 9-10 gymnasts that come over. So sometimes we talk some tumbling strategy, and sometimes we talk just some coaching strategy and motivational strategies. So it's been kind of fun to do that with him because I've done it for a long time. He's a little newer to it, but still great at it. And it's been fun to kind of bounce ideas back and forth.
For sure. There's a lot of crossover in terms of the technique and the skills.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the people that, you know, a lot of people, because they get involved with gymnastics when they're really young and then end up in cheerleading. The thing that's always blown me away about that is how different the personalities seem to be. And even the gymnasts that switch over to cheerleading seem to, like, become cheerleader personalities after they do it. Because gymnasts are like introverted and quiet and focused, and cheerleaders are just like glowing, you know, out there, big personalities. And so it's fun to see.
It's their job, though.
It is our job. It's our job to lift other people and to cheer for other people, which, what a cool job is that. I think there's some good life lessons that the kids on my team learn by being involved with cheerleading. And sometimes those lessons just are lifting others up, or, you know, or being a cheerleader for someone in life. I think we all need cheerleaders in life. Everybody needs that. They need that mom, that brother, that husband, that whatever, to be a cheerleader for them. And these kids get the opportunity when they come to college to, at a time that's really selfish. I mean, we have to be. When we're in university, it's our major, our grades, our, you know, all these things, our career, what are we going to do? And they get this opportunity by being involved with the BYU cheerleading program to step outside themselves and look to serve others, which it's such a cool thing, and why I love my job.
And what's cool, she does such a good job of bringing that gospel principle of supporting others into cheerleading, and uses that constantly. And it's such a good fit. But while they want to go to their own competition and win this national championship, I mean, the majority of the year is going to football and basketball and women's volleyball and women's basketball, and supporting those other sports, even to the extent that, like, 2 weeks before you competed at your national championship, half the team is traveling around to the basketball tournament. And I don't know how they do it, but it's
so we made the Sweet 16 this year, which was awesome for BYU basketball. And it was such a ride and such a great experience. But we were sweating it a little bit. We were at that game, and Tom Homo actually came up to me and said, "Jocelyn, what are you going to do if we make the Final Four?" And I was like, "Tom, let's not talk about it right now."
Thanks,
because
Tom.
I have a plan. If it happens, it happens. I have a plan. But let's just focus on, it was a funny thing. But I think that that's what's cool about the cheerleaders, is they are there to serve other people. And their needs kind of come secondary, which was what made it even sweeter that they were able to, at the end of this season, get a national title for themselves.
That's
for
a really cool perspective, because I feel like a lot of people probably don't view it that way with the cheerleaders. But they do. They give so much.
Yeah.
And just have enough, right, for themselves right at the very end.
Yeah, so it was a sweet end to a year.
You guys have two beautiful daughters, Aniston, and you pronounce it Mason, right?
Mason, yes.
And then you have a son, Campbell. Have either of your daughters or your son shown interest in following in your footsteps?
No.
It's interesting. Really? It's kind of, we tested out different things. We gave them the opportunity to do cheer or gymnastics, and they've all gone different ways. So
our oldest daughter, Aniston, who's actually here at BYU now, she did dance, and she was a competitive dancer and was very into it. So we spent a lot of time doing that, which was fine and great. And she loved it. And our daughter Mason is actually a senior at Corner Canyon High School in Draper right now. And she's the setter on the volleyball team and loves volleyball.
Wow.
So we'll see what happens with Campbell. He's 6 years old and in kindergarten, our caboose. And we'll see what happens with him. But neither of them were interested in the tumbling or gymnastics or cheerleading side. And we just always wanted them to have their own thing and feel empowered to do what they wanted, so we just support them and what they want to do. It was a little sad that we didn't get that out of any of them, but
that's interesting how that happens sometimes.
Yeah,
for sure.
When the parents are so involved in something, the kids are like, I'm gonna go a different route. I'm so curious, what's been the most rewarding moment in your coaching career so far? We'll start with Jocelyn.
Oh, gosh.
That might be easy.
I don't know if that's easy. I mean, I know the obvious, getting the national championships. Those trophies sound great and wonderful, and they are. That is super rewarding. But I'm going to go with the reward that means the most to me is when I hear kind of appreciation from my former athletes or current athletes for what they learned by being on the team, which I hope is something about being a better human being and about being supporters or lifters of others. I hope that that's the thing. And that is the most satisfying thing to me out of coaching, is hearing that in some way I might have been able to make a small difference. I mean, that's what I hope for. And I don't know that I always succeed, but my hope is always, and the most fulfilling thing for me, is that I've made some sort of a difference. I've made somebody understand that I care about them or that they matter. That to me is the most rewarding thing. And the national championship trophies are great, and I love that. And that was a super great thing that happened this year. But I think more rewarding to me personally is knowing that in some way I might have had some sort of an impact that was positive.
Ward, what about for you?
Very much the same thing. I can think of several examples, and I won't embarrass any particular people right now with the stories, but when you ask that, there are several people that come to mind, and it's just those individual stories of people that I know were kind of struggling with something or not at their best, and that I feel like in some way I helped to gain confidence in themselves and to maybe be a little bit better. And I know that those types of lessons, it wasn't just about gymnastics, it's going to carry into the rest of their lives. And so just being able to see people improve and gain confidence in themselves and have some kind of an effect like that has been amazing.
Obviously, coaching isn't all glamorous, because Jocelyn, during that BYU win against Utah, you got hit in the head by a water bottle.
Yes.
I had to bring that up because that was one of the most bizarre things that's ever happened. What kind of take me through
I'm
that?
I'm going to live down in infamy because I definitely did not ask to be the poster child for the rivalry. That was not something. It was a little bit crazy. So an unfortunate situation.
Yeah.
I wish that it had not happened, but that game is just filled with so much passion and heat, so to speak. So it was an unfortunate thing that happened, and I wish it hadn't, but onward
that
and upward from here.
Big part of the craziness this year. It sounds funny, like a water bottle, but a lot of people saw the video, and that thing was coming at her hard.
That
did give her a bad concussion that took quite a while to get over.
I wish the concussion recovery had been a little quicker than it took.
For the most part, she's feeling better now, but it was only as of fairly recently that she was not having the headaches.
Yeah, can you? It's just crazy. You don't think something like that's going to happen. So hoping for better outcomes at the next rivalry game.
Yeah, you're feeling okay, though.
Yes, feeling great now. Feeling great now.
All right, my last question for you guys is, for young athletes that are listening to this who maybe dream of competing at BYU, we'll start with Ward. What advice would you give to them?
What advice? I mean, just my whole thing is just about persistence and belief in yourself and continuing through hard times, because I think anybody's going to encounter that. And I think, I mean, gymnastics is a sport like that. I dealt with a lot of injuries. It's there's not a ton of of fame and glory involved in being a gymnast, especially a developmental gymnast before you get to college. But it's just, you know, remembering why you do the sport and why you love it and not losing sight of that and continuing to be driven by it and continue to be persistent. And I just think that's what I love about the sport is just that opportunity that it gives you to overcome things and to realize that you're a person that can do that. And I think that's what you keep with you and it carries on. So that's the biggest thing is just, you know, stay true to yourself, remember why you love it and keep going, keep plugging away and don't let go of your dreams.
And there's a lot of things that you can learn in sports that you can't learn anywhere else. What would you say, Jocelyn, to an aspiring cheerleader that wants to come to BYU?
I would say, I mean, I'm very similar. And I think if you ask that question to a lot of coaches, they're going to have a similar response. But we've talked this year on my team a lot about having grit and having persistence and really just if you want something, not letting anyone tell you that they can't be, and just telling these athletes that I believe in them. So we talked about that a lot. And I think inspiring athletes, I always say, if you can just have some grit and come back again, be persistent, keep working on your skills and come back. I have people on this team this year who have tried out multiple years in a row and not made it. And then their third year, they kept working, they kept pushing. And I love to see that. I love to see athletes that this is their dream and they're not going to give up on it. And then they come back. So I would say to athletes wanting to be on the team, if it's something that you really want, don't give up. Don't give up. Just keep having that little bit of grit. Keep scratching and clawing and doing whatever you need to do to get your improve your skills or get yourself better, because it will pay off in the end, whether that's you just become a better person because you've learned how to handle adversity or it's because you reach that specific goal of being on the team. Both are going to make you a better human being. So I think persistence and grit are something that I think aspiring athletes should make sure that they have.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. And it's unfortunately, it's a rare, very selective thing to be able to make, you know, the BYU cheer squad or the BYU gymnastics team or any team at the college level. But again, you'll just be a better person for it, you know, even if that dream doesn't pan out. I know for Jocelyn, tryouts are like one of there. It's a great time for her. And it's also like a really hard time because, you know, some people are getting their dreams crushed. She feels like, but at the same time, you know, for some people, it's a realization of a dream. And it is, it's hard to see, but I think anybody that gets to that level and has pursued their passion to that point benefits from it, even if it doesn't continue on and they can carry that on to something else. I mean, the cheerleading or the gymnastics doesn't last forever for anyone.
Right.
And so, you know, whether you move on in 4 years after college or before college onto other things, the things that you learned in the sport will continue to stick with
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. I always joke that cheerleading is like a microcosm for life. You can learn all these life lessons and people laugh at me, but I'm like, no, you learn life lessons through being involved in a sport. I really think that you do. I hope it's a good experience when people come to try out for my team, even if they don't make it. I hope it's a learning and good growing experience.
I think that's such great advice. I'm here with BYU head cheer coach Jocelyn Allen and her husband and BYU gymnastics coach Ward Allen. You guys are incredible people, and I appreciate you sharing your stories with me. So many stories that I didn't know were coming.
I'm sorry. We're talkers, aren't we? We're a bit of talkers.
So great. You guys are incredible. Thank you so much for taking
the time. Thank you so much for having us. That was amazing.
Thanks for having us,
Thanks again to Jocelyn and Ward Allen for coming on the show with me. Whitney Sheffield helped produce this episode with senior producer Terry South. You can join the Royal Legacy wherever you get your podcasts, on Apple, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, or on BYUradio.org. Royal Legacy is a production of BYU Broadcasting.